We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of the Waiver Wire Rider podcast on RotoViz Radio. I am your host, Zachary Kruger, and today we're going to look at players who you should consider adding ahead of your Week 12 fantasy football matchups. These suggestions are made based on PPR scoring, so if you have another format that you're playing in, be sure to adjust accordingly. And as always, if you have any questions for me, you are welcome to reach out to me on Twitter via tweet or DM at my handle, which is ZK_FFB. I will also be giving rostered percentages for the show, which are taken from yahoo.com. So if you notice they're a little off from your league, that's where those are coming from. But for now, let's go ahead and get into the show. We're going to go ahead and take a look at the quarterback position, and the first quarterback we're going to look at is Saints quarterback Trevor Siemian, who is currently rostered in 6% of leagues. He is coming off a Week 11 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, in which he threw for 214 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions, while also rushing for a touchdown. Siemian finished that week as the overall quarterback 5 with 26.16 PPR, and really I think the takeaway right now with Siemian and what is kind of a fluid quarterback situation in New Orleans is that he has been okay. He has not been great. He does have three straight top 12 performances for fantasy, throwing for 761 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions over that span. But he has only completed 57.1% of his passes. We know that Taysom Hill is kind of waiting in the wing for perhaps his shot to do something. He just recently signed a 4-year deal with the Saints as well. That actually gives him more money if he were ever to be named the quarterback as the starter for the Saints. So that's also an interesting thing to consider. But if you're looking for a 1-week fix, maybe even a little bit longer, as long as Siemian is a starter, I think that he should give you some usable weeks as kind of a bandage quarterback, especially if you're playing in super flex leagues. He does get the Cowboys, the Jets, the Bucks, and the Dolphins after this week's matchup on Thanksgiving against Buffalo. So he does have a few more generous matchups, or at least matchups where there's going to probably be a lot of points being scored, which could mean he's throwing more, which could also be a path to more fantasy points. So I think Trevor Siemian's at the very least an interesting ad. It's hard to throw a lot of names out there when you consider that a lot of these guys who are studs are already rostered. We're kind of looking for some back of the roster fillers who we think could maybe you can make a case for. So I think Trevor Siemian is one of them. I'd be doing just like a 2-3% fab on him for one quarterback leagues, maybe a bit a little bit higher than that if you're in a super flex. But I think that what you just need to watch out for is the possibility of him not being the starter at any point in time in the season. However, if you're looking for that second quarterback to throw in there, I started Joe Flacco the other week, so I think you can certainly put Trevor Siemian in a super flex league if need be. The next quarterback we're going to look at is Houston Texans quarterback Tyrod Taylor, who is currently rostered in 6% of leagues. He and the Texans are coming off of a Week 11 win at the Tennessee Titans. The Texans defeated the Titans 22-13. And now in week 12, the Texans will play host to the New York Jets. In that win against the Titans, Taylor completed 14 of 24 passes for 107 yards. He did not throw a touchdown, but he also didn't throw an interception, finishing the day with 6 carries for 28 yards and 2 touchdowns, which was good enough to give him 19.08 fantasy points and a quarterback 11 finish overall on the day. Now, the thing that I think is interesting when looking at a player like Tyrod Taylor and even just the Houston Texans in general is you're never really going to quite know what to expect for them. But I do like this matchup against the Jets, who have been one of the worst defenses in the league and are allowing 25.2 fantasy points per game to the quarterback position, along with the second most passing yards per game at 366. Tyrod Taylor is not known for his arm, but we know that he is a baller, and we know he is someone who is able to use a little bit of what he has left in the ground game to get the ball downfield as well, in addition to his passing. So he's a player who I would be interested in streaming this week against the Jets if you're looking to fix a position. Maybe you have a quarterback on a bye week, or you have someone who's injured or out. I think that Tyrod Taylor is an interesting streaming option against the Jets. The big thing is we just don't quite know what to expect out of him, but he defeated the Tennessee Titans. That was a big win. I like the Texans against the Jets this upcoming week. I think Tyrod Taylor can give us at least hopefully a top 12 fantasy finish if he does something similar to what he did against the Titans this week. I'd be doing about a 1-2% fab bid on him. Just kind of get him in there, roster him. If you don't want to spend too much up on a guy who you're probably not going to have on your roster for more than a week or two. But I think Tyrod Taylor for at least this week against the New York Jets is interesting after a solid performance against the Tennessee Titans. Now we're going to get into the running back position, and the first running back we're going to look at is Patriots running back Ramondre Stevenson, who is currently rostered in 58% of leagues. Stevenson and the Patriots are coming off of a 25-0 road win at the Atlanta Falcons in week 12. The Patriots play host to the Tennessee Titans in their win against the Falcons. Ramondre Stevenson rushed 12 times for 69 yards. He did not have a touchdown. He also caught one pass on one target for 6 yards, finishing the day with 8.5 PPR and as the overall running back 24 on the week, in a week that was really just kind of a down week for running backs overall. Now, I know that people are hesitant to add Patriots running backs, in large because of the way Bill Belichick tends to use them. We've been burned years before if you've played fantasy for any length of time while Bill Belichick is a coach of the Patriots. We know that what appears to be a player who is talented, a player who appears to be locked into a role, can suddenly not have a role, be healthy and active, what have you. Stevenson was actually a healthy scratch for several games this year, which was much to the surprise of several people after the dominant preseason that he had. But now it appears that despite the fact that even when Damian Harris is healthy, it looks like the Patriots may actually be interested in using Ramondre Stevenson. In week 10 against the Browns, Damian Harris was out. Stevenson saw 20 carries for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. The following week, he comes back against the Atlanta Falcons. He sees 13 total opportunities and what was really kind of a true split for Patriots running backs. So fear be damned in this case, I would say, in terms of not wanting to add a Patriots running back because of concerns that they might not be used. I think this is a time you go out and get Ramondre Stevenson. You put him on your roster, you stash him. He's 58% roster. I think that's far too low. I'd be throwing about a 20% fab bid at him right now if he's available. He's averaging 16.2 points per game over the last 3 weeks and has three double-digit performances since week 6. So he is someone who has been used. He is someone who has produced. He's got good size to punch in the ball at the goal line if called upon. I just think he's a player who it's time to get him on your roster right now and to bump up that 58% roster percent closer to 65 or 70%, because he is the likely immediate backup to Damian Harris and a player who I want because he's looked good when given the opportunity. So if Ramondre Stevenson is available in your league, go out and get him, drop a fab bid on him. I'd be doing 20% trying to lock him up at this point in time. The next running back we're going to take a look at, and I apologize in advance for getting to this person, but his name is Rex Burkhead. He is a running back for the Houston Texans. He is one of several Houston Texans running backs and a player who, kind of like his teammate Tyrod Taylor, I don't love the idea of rostering, but if you're looking for a running back to have, maybe, just maybe, Rex Burkhead can at least turn in some kind of a sneaky top 24 performance. I say that because last week against the Tennessee Titans, we already covered that the Texans won that game. They get the Jets in week 12. Rex Burkhead came out and had an unprecedented 18 carries for 40 yards. He actually was terrible in terms of yards per carry. He had 2.2 yards per carry, but those 18 carries he saw were ranked as the 7th most among all running backs in week 11. He finished with just 4.0 PPR. It was a running back 43 on the week. It wasn't good. There's nothing about Rex Burkhead that makes me want to roster him from a talent standpoint, but from an opportunity standpoint, he had a lot of it. He didn't see any targets, surprisingly, even though we know that Rex Burkhead can catch passes when asked to. Maybe that changes this week against the New York Jets. Hopefully, if you're adding him as kind of a streaming running back option for this week, hopefully at least the double-digit touches sustains itself for 1 week so you can get something out of him against the New York Jets. Again, the Jets defense is not good. They're allowing a lot of points to quarterbacks. They're also allowing the most points to opposing running backs. So we know that we can get something out of most running backs who play the Jets. I'd like to think that if Rex Burkhead gets something similar to what he got this past week, he's at least an interesting streaming option for the week. If you're down a running back, maybe you have either bye or injury, get Rex Burkhead, throw him in there. I'd be bidding very little money on him to get him, very little fab to get him, because I think that, you know, he's not a player who's good enough to keep on your roster for any length of time, but for a 1 week fix, it might work out. He didn't score a lot of points. He's probably not going to be on a lot of people's radar, so I'd be doing about a 1 to 2% fab on Rex Burkhead. And again, this is as with the expectations of a low end RB2, maybe even a high end RB3, operating under the assumption that the unprecedented volume that he saw last week somewhat continues in week 12 against the Jets. It's more of a desperation play, but it's hard to find running backs out there this week, so I think that Rex Burkhead is a little bit more interesting than he would be in a normal week.
Colm Kelly here, the executive producer of the RotoViz Radio Podcast Network and co-host of the RotoViz Overtime Podcast, along with the phenomenal Sean Siegel. The wait is over, the NFL season is here, and there's no better time than the present to sign up for a RotoViz NFL Pass. You'll get access to all of our content, all of our tools, everything you need to help you for that in-season success. As a loyal podcast listener, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass just by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout. Or go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. Let's go get those championships. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Moving over to the wide receiver position, we're going to be taking a look at Green Bay Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who is currently 9% rostered in leagues. He and the Packers are coming off a 34-31 road loss at the Minnesota Vikings in Week 12. The Packers will play host to the Rams, but in the loss to the Vikings, MVS kind of had a pretty decent day. He saw overall 10 targets, which was most of the season. He only caught 4 of those 10 targets, so efficiency wasn't really the name of the game for MVS in terms of conversion ratio, but he still had 123 receiving yards on the day. He had a touchdown. He finished with 22.3 fantasy points and as the overall wide receiver 6. Now, like I said, he caught 4 of 10 targets. He caught 40% of his targets. That's certainly not anything that is elite, but what he also had was the most air yards of any wide receiver in week 11, tying Terry McLaurin with 153 air yards. And really, I think what we saw out of MVS this week was kind of what we have come to know him for, is a wide receiver who's going to see hopefully a decent number of targets. You know, they're all going to be thrown downfield, thrown by Aaron Rodgers, which is always an added bonus. And we realize that at any point in time, he could kind of be a game breaker for you, who's either going to turn in one of these 20-plus point performances. But we also realize that his floor is one that is borderline non-existent. So Adding MVS is kind of a shot on upside in any given week. If you're starting him, you're starting him because of the upside, not because of a safe floor. But if you have anywhere from a 3 to 4 wide receiver spots available to be starting in your league, then I think MVS is at the very least an interesting option, given that he saw those 10 targets in week 11 against Minnesota. I wouldn't expect something like 10 targets to continue for him. He is, after all, playing in an offense that also features Davante Adams. But nevertheless, I do like the ceiling that MVS provides on any given week. I just think the question is your league deep enough to start him on any given week? I'd be looking probably more as like a wide receiver 4 on most lineups, unless you're just really banged up at the position and maybe you make the case for him as a wide receiver 3. But I'd be dropping Fab on MVS this week simply because he appears to be back. He appears to be healthy. I'd be doing about 8-10% Fab on him, with the understanding that he could perhaps boost my floor ceiling on any given week. If you have an already very solid team, then that, you know, getting the 22.3 points out of him, that's going to certainly help your team down the long run, and hopefully you'll see a few more of those big games out of him. And then the next wide receiver we are going to look at is Tennessee Titans wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I hope I am saying that right. He is rostered in 0% of leagues. He is a member of the Tennessee Titans, who lost once again 22-12 to the Houston Texans. They faced the New England Patriots in week 12. In the game against the Texans, Westbrook-Ikhine had 7 receptions for 107 yards and no touchdowns. He saw 8 targets and finished with 17.7 PPR, which was good for wide receiver 18 overall. Now, the one thing I went ahead and looked at in this particular take for this player was our RotoViz Game Splits app. If you're not a subscriber to RotoViz, be sure to go over there, check it out. The Game Splits app is one of my favorite tools. You can plug any number of players in to see how player X is performing when player Y is healthy versus when they're out. And the one thing that I noticed is that Westbrook-Ikhine has 5.25 targets per game in games that Julio Jones is not playing this season for the Titans, compared to the 2.6 targets per game he is seeing when Julio Jones is in the lineup. So we know that his usage tends to get a bump whenever Jones is out of the lineup. And the reality is, we know that Julio Jones is not a player who is known for having the cleanest bill of health. He has played in only 6 of the Titans' 11 games this season, which could possibly mean that there's going to be more opportunity for Westbrook-Ikhine later on this season, because we don't know necessarily that Julio Jones is actually going to be back and be healthy. On top of that, Westbrook-Ikhine has also seen 8 targets in 2 games this season, with his best output being last week against Houston when he caught 7 for 107 with 17.7 PPR. But I think there's a couple other things that we can look at in addition to just the Julio Jones absence. I think that another thing we can look at is a banged up running game. Obviously, the Titans are without Derrick Henry. Last week against the Texans, the Titans combined to rush 25 times for just 103 yards. They had no touchdowns and averaged 4.1 yards per carry. And then on top of that, the Titans were also facing a negative game script and a loss to the Texans, which is obviously going to boost the overall targets probably for all wide receivers as the Titans are trying to come back in a game that they're losing by 2 possessions. So I don't think that the Titans are going to be a very good team down the back half of the season without Derrick Henry. I think that he was kind of what kept the offense turning, what kept the offense running, for lack of a better word. And with him being out now, the Titans are going to have to probably rely a little bit more on Ryan Tannehill. I'm not sure that he's going to provide a level of consistency to that offense that's going to be able to keep them ahead in most games. So I think more negative game scripts is something that's definitely going to be in the card for the Titans in the coming weeks, in part due to the fact that Derrick Henry is out. Now, if that happens and if Julio Jones isn't playing, then I think Westbrook-Ikhine becomes a player who we target, again, as a low-end wide receiver 3, maybe a high-end wide receiver 4, in a lineup that offers us multiple wide receiver spots to start. We also know that A.J. Brown tends to get banged up once in a while, so the opportunity can only grow from there if him and Julio Jones both happen to be out. I like Westbrook-Ikhine. I think he's an interesting player. He's 6'2", 211 pounds. He has 4.56 speed, and he's produced in the opportunities he's been called upon. So he's going to be another low-floor, high-ceiling guy possibly, but I think that the opportunity could be there for him to have a decent second half of the season. I'd be doing about 5-8% Fab on him at this point in time. Next, we're going to look at the tight end position. Is undoubtedly my least favorite position to look at, in large because it is so hard to find people who are good, people who are reliable, and people who you can slot into your lineup in a given basis. And as a result of that, I'm going to keep on banging the drum that I have been banging in recent weeks, because I still believe this tight end is under-rostered. I think that he should be someone who is in most people's starting lineups every week given his recent weeks of production, and that is Pittsburgh Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth, who is only rostered in 52% of leagues. I dug into that percentage a little bit more just to kind of offer up some perspective, but last week the Steelers lost to the Chargers in week 11, 41-37 on the road. In week 12, they traveled to Cincinnati, but in that loss to the Chargers, Freiermuth only caught 4 passes for 11 yards and 1 touchdown, which was good for only 11.1 fantasy points. Again, because the tight end position is so bad, that was good for tight end 12 overall. He was still a tight end 1 this week, but what was still great to see about Freiermuth was that he did see 7 targets in this game, which is really what I think we're looking for. We're looking for tight ends with volume, and we know that Freiermuth is also better than that, and that most weeks when he's seeing something like 7 targets, he should give us more than just 4 catches for 11 yards and a touchdown. Now, strangely in this game, Eric Ebron actually finished with the better fantasy week of the two tight ends in Pittsburgh. He had 11.4 fantasy points and was overall tight end 9. Again, the position is so bad that 0.3 points separated Freiermuth and Ebron from the tight end 12 to the tight end 9. Ebron had 3 catches on all 3 targets for 24 yards and 1 touchdown. But again, Freiermuth, I think, is underowned in fantasy right now. He needs to be stashed where he is available. He is currently averaging 13.414 fantasy points over the last 5 weeks and is an overall tight end 7 in points per game since week 7. But despite that, he is currently the 16th most rostered tight end in the league, despite his recent elite levels of production, which I just think is why you need to change it. He's being rostered 16th most in terms of roster percentages, but he's producing as an overall tight end 7. So that tells you there's a lot to be fixing there and that the market is not valuing this player correctly. I think you need to go out at Freiermuth. I'd be doing a 10 to 15% fab on him to try to get him. Maybe that's overspending just a little bit in light of, you know, what was kind of an underwhelming performance this week. If he's not rostered in your league, chances are it's because people weren't impressed. But go out and get this guy. Throw him in your lineup each week. He is seeing targets. He is seeing volume. He is seeing fantasy points that he is putting on the board and giving your team a chance to win. He is producing like a top 7 tight end in points per game. And at any given week, I think it's not improbable to think that he could be the overall tight end 1 on any given week. So go out, get Pat Freiermuth. Stop sleeping on this man. 52% roster is far too low. The next tight end we're going to look at is Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Cameron Brate, who is rostered in 4% of leagues. He and the Buccaneers won 30-10 against the New York Giants last week. In week 12, they get the Indianapolis Colts. In that game against the Giants, Brate saw 6 targets, caught 2 passes for 27 yards and no touchdowns. He finished with 4.7 fantasy points and is the overall tight end 29. Now, what I will say is that this is not me soliciting to go out and add Cameron Brate. I'm not actually advocating for this. Again, the position's disgusting. It's hard to find players. What I'm actually soliciting here is to just kind of keep your ears to the ground and keep an eye out for what Brate has been doing over the last couple of weeks. Despite the fact that Rob Gronkowski was back in this game against the Giants, it was kind of surprising to see Cameron Brate still get 6 targets. He has currently seen 34 targets on the season. I think it's safe to say that he is the likely backup to Rob Gronkowski. OJ Howard, the other tight end on that roster, has only seen 20 targets on the season. And I just think that right now, we know that Tom Brady likes to target the tight end position. We know that Cameron Brate can produce in fantasy. He has done so in the past. And with Rob Gronkowski's spotty injury history, we know that at any point in time, he could miss a week. So I'm putting Cameron Brate on this list because the grouping of tight ends is not good, and because I think that just kind of keeping an open ear to what is going on at any given week out of Bucs camp, whether or not Rob Gronkowski is healthy or not, that's kind of your time to decide whether or not you want to strike on someone like Cameron Brate, depending on what the matchup is and depending on what Rob Gronkowski might be dealing with. So, again, don't go out and get Cameron Brate this week. You do not want to start him against the Colts if Rob Gronkowski is healthy. Now, if he is out, then that's a different story, but I don't think Rob Gronkowski is going to be missing week 12. But just keep your ear down to the ground. Keep an eye out for Brate. Realize that the tight end who is ahead of him has a spotty injury history and misses a lot of time here and there. So, you know, keep your eye out for it. It's tough out there in those tight end streets. So I would say that if you're looking for a player on any given week who you need to throw into your tight end spot, see what's going on with Gronk. If he happens to be out, Brate could be your guy. He looks to be locked into that tight end 2 role. And again, 6 targets, even with a healthy Gronk, is a little bit surprising, I would say. Now we're going to get into the super sleepers portion of this show. And the first player who we're going to mention is one who I didn't expect to add up until just prior to recording of this show. It was announced that he was being cut from the Houston Texans. A lot of Texans being thrown around here. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it is former Texan, now free agent, Philip Lindsay. You know him. He's a running back, formerly of the Denver Broncos. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, his first two seasons in the league, before the Broncos signed Melvin Gordon in 2020 to kind of take over for Lindsay in what was a bit of a surprising move. On the year, Lindsay has rushed 50 times for 130 yards and one touchdown. He has also caught three of four targets for 37 yards and one touchdown and has just 31.7 fantasy points on the season. Again, Lindsay has been released. He will hopefully be free to sign with any team he pleases in the coming days or in the coming days. And I think depending on where he lands, he's an interesting player to have. And right now I'd be going out and trying to stash him. Now, I know that some people will say that Lindsay is either washed up or he's done or maybe he's bad. And that could be the case. I'm not ruling that out. You know, we're talking about him as a sleeper here. We're not talking about him as a guy who we're dying to add in hopes that he gives us a league-winning season. But he's 27-year-old running back. I think the thing that's kind of puzzling with him is that he saw less playing time than running backs who we all kind of perceived to be flat-out dust, and Mark Ingram, David Johnson, Rex Burkhead, who we just mentioned earlier. Lindsay was getting playing time behind all of those guys, which is concerning, but I always kind of felt like Philip Lindsay was also a bad fit in a Houston Texans offense that we knew was rebuilding. They had a head coach that we weren't quite sure about. He kind of came out of left field as well. So Lindsay's an interesting player. We don't really know what to expect of him. I would say that I would at least like to see what he can do with a heavy workload, which is not something he was receiving in Houston. I'd like to see what he can do with maybe double-digit opportunities per game in the right offense to see if there's anything he can do. I actually think that Baltimore is an interesting landing spot for Lindsay for several reasons. One being that the Ravens really do not have a great backfield right now. Two, I think that he is probably the best running back on Baltimore's roster if he gets there, because one, he is as young, two, he's explosive, he has decent speed, and three, there's another dynamic that's added to a Ravens offense and being a running back in that offense that you don't get in many other offenses, with that being defenses always have to key in on not just the running back on any given running down, but also Lamar Jackson. I think that Devonta Freeman's success in Baltimore has kind of been a testament to that and what defenses have to focus on. Freeman is averaging 4.6 yards per carry this season. That is the first time he has rushed for over 4 yards per carry since 2018. I just think there's something to be had there. Now, we also saw guys like Le'Veon Bell, who's now cut, and then also Latavius Murray, who is still on the team but not playing very well. We've seen them maybe not benefit from the Lamar Jackson factor as much, but Devonta Freeman, I believe, oddly has. I think he's been decent, but I think that if Philip Lindsay were to join that team, that he would become, at worst-case scenario, the running back two on that team. He may even be better than Devonta Freeman at this point in his career. Freeman, 29 years old, turned 29 in March. His best days are clearly behind him. Philip Lindsay might have one more good season left in him if he sees the right amount of volume. So I'd be doing about a 5% fab bid, I think, on Philip Lindsay. Maybe if you go with 5 to 10%, I'd even be okay with that. Maybe you don't have to bid on him. Maybe your league mates all think he's washed and you can just get him for free. If you believe that's the case, go out and do that. But if you want to put a little bit of bid down on him just to ensure that you get him, I'd be doing about 5 to 10% on Philip Lindsay. And the last sleeper we are going to talk about is New Orleans Saints wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith. He is currently rostered in 4% of leagues. He and the Saints are coming off a 40-29 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles this past weekend, and they play host to the Buffalo Bills on Thanksgiving. Now, in this past game, Tre'Quan Smith caught 5 passes for 64 yards. He did not have a touchdown, but he did see a season-high 11 targets. And season highs and targets are something that Tre'Quan Smith has seen over the last 5 weeks. He saw 3 targets in his first 2 weeks back. He saw 4 targets in his third week back. In week 10, he had 7 targets. And then this past week in week 11 against the Philadelphia Eagles, he had 8 targets, finishing with 11.4 PPR, which was good for the wide receiver 32 overall. Now, I was pretty high on Tre'Quan Smith when he first entered the league out of UCF. I don't necessarily think that he is the player that I had hoped that he would be, but I don't think that he is a bad player either. I think he's someone who can play a supportive role on an offense, and in this case, the Saints offense needs players who are good at playing supportive roles. They're without Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara has been banged up. They no longer have Jameis Winston. They're really just kind of trying to skate by at this point in time, get wins, and find players who can contribute. I think Tre'Quan Smith can be that. The fact that he has seen a boost in targets in essentially each week that he has been healthy since he returned In week 7, I think that Tre'Quan Smith is an interesting player to add. He already has 2 touchdowns on this season, and I would expect him to just kind of keep on improving. If he at any point in time is able to offer a steady wide receiver 3 floor, I think that that would be great. Right now, I'd be looking to start him more as my 4th wide receiver on a team in a deeper league, but I think he's an interesting player who is capable of producing for fantasy when given the opportunity to. Certainly 8 targets last week against the Philadelphia Eagles suggests that opportunity is there to be had if he's able to produce with it. He caught 5 out of 8 targets for 64 yards. I don't think that's that bad of an output. Certainly if he would have scored, it would have been nicer, but we're always going to get the touchdowns that we need. If we can chase volume and hope that touchdowns come with that, I think that that is fine as well. So I'd be looking to add Tre'Quan Smith, doing about a 5-8% fab bid on him as well. Just as a guy who I think is talented but hasn't quite put it all together yet, but may get a chance to do so with more volume going forward. If you are a new listener and want to learn about all the amazing tools and articles over at RotoViz, be sure to head on over to rotoviz.com and subscribe to the website. New subscribers can save 10% at checkout by using promo code RVRadio2021. And that is going to do it for today's Waiver Wire Rider podcast. Be sure to subscribe to RotoViz Radio wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a review, that's always helpful. And once again, my name is Zachary Kruger. You can find me on Twitter at ZK_FFB. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. Until next time, I wish you good luck and a good day, and also a happy Thanksgiving.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the #1 mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.